Hey, good afternoon. It's Tuesday, September 12th, 2023. This is your host, Big Arthur, coming to you somewhat live. I'll upload this in a couple hours, so it won't be old news by the time I do. But sorry, it's been a couple weeks. You might be able to hear it a little bit in my voice. It actually makes me sound, I think, a little more adult, but I'm over it. But I got a cold. And of course, I had to get tested multiple times, twice for COVID. I did one myself. So the doctor wouldn't do it, but I forget they can bill your insurance only if they do it. And so I got the brain wave from the nurse. It's just so irritating because I don't care if I have it. I didn't feel that bad, but I'm traveling soon and wanted to make sure I kind of had something on hand if I needed an antibiotic or whatever. So 3 hours later, after being prodded and tested, the verdict is I have a cold. So I had to take a few days, though. It laid me up pretty good, and been doing my research, my homework, and you'll see the title of the show. Today it's going to allude something to they're not going to let him run. And so in my last show, my return after a while, I talked about how Trump has essentially launched the campaign. And when I say that, the Democrats did it for him, especially in Georgia with the mugshot. And since then, I mean, I think I had that show the day of or 2 days later, you know, after the mugshot. And of course, the meteoric rise has not stopped. And now you're seeing Latinos for Trump on TikTok with hundreds of thousands of views, shares, rapping about how they didn't vote for him last time, but and they're sorry. I mean, it's hysterical. There's a clean version, and then there's a not so clean version. It's pretty authentic. And these guys, I mean, this is not the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. This is hardcore stuff. They're tatted up. They look legit. They look down with the struggle, and they're wearing red MAGA hats. And I mean, other than the red MAGA hat, you'd think it was your everyday rap music video in our time. And the lyrics do not hold punches. I've heard from a couple sources, because I actually have some, actually one in the music industry, pretty connected, works with known producers, people if you turn on any satellite channel, top 20, top 100, whatever, you'll hear some work that this person has collaborated on or worked on. And they told me that there are producers, there are active record companies, if you can still call them that, contacting these guys. Their account is Latinos for Trump, I believe. I mean, we've heard that phrase before. It's popular for a reason. But the rap is pretty well known. You've probably seen it. These record labels are reaching out to them, offering them money and exposure on their social media accounts for them to 180 and rap against Trump, because they're good. I mean, you don't have to be a hip-hop gangster rap fan to recognize talent in that space, and they have it. It's catchy. It's a unique sound. It's not watered down like the guy, F Trump guy, who just basically put on one backbeat and just repeated F Trump, but he says it. These guys put lyrics into it. They tell a story of people, for lack of a better phrase, getting off of the plantation. And I'm not talking about any racial group, any ethnic group. I'm talking about people that have been stuck in the nanny state that has destroyed their cultures. It's plural. The Democrat parties in the cities we know and used to love have destroyed cultures with their policies and with their hate. And what do they hate? They hate capitalism, they hate prosperity, and they hate people disagreeing with them. So they make it very scary to leave. And that's where the plantation analogy came from. These guys rap about it. They don't say those words, but they talk about realizing how they've been lied to. It's almost apologetic. This song is almost apologetic in the beginning. Why am I bringing it up? Because I don't like spiking the ball. Especially when we haven't won the game. We're winning some battles, and I'm getting nervous. And it's not because I'm worried about Trump versus Biden or, frankly, anybody else. I'm not going to cover the Republican quote-unquote primary unless something drastic changes, meaning Trump doesn't run. It's not relevant. There is no primary. The news cycle knows it. I mean, other than getting these annoying texts from some of these candidates like Nikki Haley and Ramaswamy, and I don't see anything from DeSantis anymore. I think he's just raising money and he'll do what he will with it that law allows. I think he knows he's toast. Because that debate, as minuscule as it was in the scheme of things, if you graded it, he was just awkward. And he had people in the crowd that were working hard to cheer for him, but it felt like someone at their kid's drama performance. You know, they walk out and light a candle, and you know the family's there when they freak out and act as if the kid just dropped a line from Hamlet. You know, the kid lit a candle and maybe moved a tree for a set, and he's, you know, of course, that's what families do. That's basically what DeSantis had. That's what they all got. They got a small percentage of people that really, really like their guy, and they're all going to end up voting for Trump. Even the Chris Christie sycophants, whoever you are. I mean, I have some people around me that are going to vote for Trump that don't like him. A lot of people, but there are people that actually admit it. They don't like him. They're like, yeah, I'm going to vote for whoever the nominee is, but I like blank. Whether it's they've said DeSantis, they're saying that less. They say Ramaswamy a lot, and they a lot before the debate, they're saying it less because he is the Pete Buttigieg of the Republican Party. He's a cyborg, and he's pretty liberal. I mean, social media doesn't go away. Believe me. So this guy has said some things. He's Soros connected, I guess. I thought not, but it looks like he's taken some money from Rhino, to say the least, locations and organizations. He's not the guy. He says all the right things almost too much. If he's the nominee, I'm voting for him, but he's not going to be. So moving along, we've got Trump versus, if he's alive, Biden. There's a clear realization when you see multiple. This Latinos for Trump is not the only outcry from formerly held Democratic demographic strongholds. Latinos, African Americans, those two minorities are moving away from Democrats. And that's been happening slowly, but it's because of Trump. And Trump is different now. Trump was always a bit gangster, but this is different. And I didn't see this coming. Him being arrested for charges that are not seen in many cultures as real crimes, because you when you listen to the music, right, and I'm not talking as somebody who's lived the life, but I came up in the era when gangster rap got popular. And I don't like what it glorifies. I don't like what most popular music glorifies. So you take some of that out, but look at the oppression message and listen to it in a lot of these songs. And these artists talk about the man. A lot of times it's the white man, but honestly, it's power, keeping people down, not having opportunity, having to do what they're doing to make it. And then they rap about the other things, i.e. not legal things they did to make it before they came famous, which they know they're barely the 0.1%, whether it's 2 Chain or these other guys. I mean, there's some real mobbed up gangsters, all right? I mean, registered with gang squads in multiple cities that are multi-platinum label performers and are out of that life. Unfortunately, some don't leave it. And you hear like these guys getting shot and killed over local gangster beefs. And their estate's worth $100 million. Tekashi 6ix9ine, look him up. Drive by it, buying a motorcycle. Some of these guys can't escape it. Others choose not to. They feel maybe it's better for their image. Where I'm going with this is that culture doesn't give a damn about what is considered white collar crime to an extent. If you rip off people's savings to the tune of millions, yes, that culture turns on you, right? That's taking from working people. But we're talking about somebody who made a claim, and I think it's righteous, about an election. At least some of them were, we know, and was shouted down and shot down for speaking out. There are cultures that have lived that and see that as the same or similar oppression they've gone through. They see being shut down. They see being silenced as part of the culture they have lived in or live in or their elders lived in and they've learned about and are learning about. Whether they learn it in school, whether they learn it from watching a movie, whether they learn it from a song, there's an understanding on the streets that there's always somebody looking to keep you down, to keep you from living your truth, telling your truth, or prospering. Now, of course, that can be a crutch and an excuse. We're not going to cover that because we don't want, we can get into the welfare state and what it teaches. And let's be honest, those cultures think that way, maybe a permanent state of oppression, even when they're not, because that's what they've learned. We don't wake up and know much when we're born. We're a product of our environment, our families. And when you look at the African-American community, they have a severe, statistically backed family problem. Fatherless homes. It's always better. Two-parent households are always better. And they don't have it. I mean, it's like 70% nationwide. You get into cities like Chicago, Los Angeles, it's closer to 80 fatherless African-American homes. So have some compassion there. And they're seeing this and they're listening to Trump in his mastery tell a story and paint a picture. And he does it so well because he has enough facts on his side when he talks, and then what do his opponents do? They play right into it with their actions, and that came to a head with the mugshot. Here's a guy that's disagreeing with the man, right? There was something bad that happened on January 6th. He wasn't there. Now think about that in the cities and on the streets. Think about the first thing people go to if someone accuses them of a crime they didn't commit. They had an alibi. I wasn't there. I wasn't there. Even when they lie, that's the lie they go with. I wasn't there. I was at my girlfriend's house. Or I was at so-and-so's house. I was out of town. And of course, we verify it. Well, we don't need to because we know Trump wasn't there when people went into Jan 6. Now, he had a rally in the vicinity. None of us, we share regular people. All normal, healthy American cultures see that and don't make any connection to Trump committing a crime. We've heard the transcripts. We know he tried to keep people calm. And we now know the Capitol Police from the Capitol Police Chief, who Tucker Carlson had interviewed on Fox News, but they won't air that because he's not with them anymore. He just re-interviewed this guy. This is the chief of police for the Capitol Police, and the January 6th committee never interviewed him, never called him as a witness, because they knew he would blow up their whole narrative. He said they'd ask for help. They knew. They had intelligence. He says, I had my own intelligence sources. We have our own. We don't have to rely on anybody. And they said, there's going to be some bad actors here. People stirring it up. We're not sure, but it's always, when you hear that, from a law enforcement side, you're always better safe than sorry. You come with what they call a police presence because you want to deter it. If 30 knuckleheads show up with zip ties and some pepper spray or whatever, if they see a bunch of dudes in riot gear standing passively, but in organized formation off to the side, whatever they planned is over. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. And in any city, podunk, county law enforcement scenario where they had the same intel, their response on-call officers would have been activated. They would have been in the gear and at least on a bus parked at the site, chilling out, but ready to go when given the green light, if needed. How did that not happen? It was intentional. This was manipulated. And they got it pretty damn far. And unfortunately, there are people going to federal prison that wouldn't be there if the Capitol Police had been allowed to do their job. And the chief of the Capitol Police, this is not some unidentified whistleblower. The guy is out there. and he's saying it. So if you haven't seen that interview, it's on Tucker's Twitter page. You can watch it in its entirety, just like Trump's interview. Watch it and go boldly with it. The whole thing's BS. So we have this day that was a bad day. Nothing like a regular day in the city for a lot of people. And they're trying to tie it to the guy who's actually speaking in a way that is connecting to them. That's all a lot of people need. We're a rebellious country by nature. Young people are rebellious. Hip-hop culture is rebellious. Trump is rebellious, and he's a revolution again. You have incumbent versus incumbent if it goes the way it's looking. So I'm very positive. And what makes me so positive, it's no contest. I just don't see the accusations having an effect anymore. What the Democrats have done is they've gone so hard, it's awkward now. And they just can't learn to be strategic against Trump. If the election were held today, with the voting laws in place that are in place in Arizona and Georgia, also Texas, couldn't get them through Michigan or Pennsylvania because of Democrat governors, we don't need them. I believe we get Arizona and Georgia. I really do. We get Florida's red, Ohio's red. I mean, I think that if he holds everything else, that's it. That's a win. It's close. It's a win. I think Michigan and Wisconsin are definitely going to be in play. And there might be a surprise in there. Nevada's done. They've structured it. They voted it the way it is. And they're never going back because there'll never be a Republican legislation there. Theirs done is California. You know, it's not going back. Colorado, I think, is done. They've polluted that place with Karen liberalism. They're the worst. You want your kids to see a perverse drag show? You can find them anytime you want. Downtown in Colorado, down in Lodo. Go down there for brunch. Your kids can see some dude's junk bouncing around because tolerance. So they're lost. Anywhere you see, any area you see regular family-friendly drag shows on a social calendar like Denver, that's blue. And Denver is Colorado. It's an urban center. It's the same effect that LA and San Francisco has on California. So, he'd win. I think he wins pretty decent today. And I think it gets better with time. Of course, what about the court cases? Georgia, I mean, I'm looking for updates. There's a federal judge looking at this. Either way, this goes to the Supreme Court if this judge doesn't toss the Georgia case. But I'm sorry, I don't see... It's via, Mark Meadows is doing what he's doing. Trump's going to do the same. They have motions to take this to federal court because everything they're accused of that they allegedly did was when they were federal officers, when Trump was president, when Mark Meadows was chief of staff. There is no state jurisdiction, no county, no city. The city of Irvine cannot prosecute Donald Trump, president. Even when he's not, if it's for something he did before Joe Biden was inaugurated. Now, one third of the people you share this concept with, you'll have to remind them that Donald Trump was still the president after the election into December and January. They don't understand that. It's embarrassing, but I can see it for younger people. Good learning opportunity. Once they get past that and understand it, this is a no-win situation. And these aren't stupid, completely, they're pretty stupid. I would say completely stupid people in Georgia. They're also children. They know this. They know the Supreme Court is constitutional, is basically constitutional conservative right now. So even if this federal judge doesn't throw it out, which he should based on the Constitution and precedent, Nixon, it's going to get appealed to the Supreme Court, which is actually going to end up being politically better for Trump. But I'll take this W now. And I don't know anything about the federal judge looking at it. It's not easy. You know, these state-level circuit judges can be hacks in some cases. You get to federal circuit, these are appointed positions. Yes, they're politically appointed, but when there's vacancies, you know, I don't know if this is a Trump appointee or not. I can't imagine that they would prosecute him in a county, is it Fulton County, where they knew the federal jurisdiction was a Trump appointee. It's Georgia, but it's also the Atlanta area. Who knows? But Trump's welcome driving through urban Atlanta when he went for that mugshot, as we talked about last time, was pretty urban incredible. And so that was the beginning of the backfire. Those videos are out. I think this gal in Georgia, I don't even care to remember her name, who filed these charges, is going to end up being another Trump casualty. Another Kathy Griffin, he broke me. Because she's going to look like an absolute fool. Now, there's still the federal cases of conspiracy. They're going to go to work on that, and there are going to be a lot of appeals. There's a chance, I mean, the election might happen before those cases even see a jury trial. And then it's null and void. They can't do it. They're tossed. But I know, you know, we're talking about it here. Obviously, they're aware of this. Okay, so they're going to try to get this in front of a jury. And I'm curious to see a jury of 12 come with a unanimous decision on conspiracy for Donald Trump, knowing that there's full discovery coming and that there's going to be plenty of evidence. But who knows? I mean, it's going to come down to that, because if he's convicted, even if he doesn't serve a day in jail, he pays a fine, the 14th Amendment action that some of these attorneys general are already starting to prepare for could be legit, basically to remove him from their state's ballots. Because remember, these elections are controlled by the state. So it's going to come down to who's a friend and who isn't. New Hampshire, he won't be on the ballot. That's actually a couple electoral votes Trump can win. He won't be on there. You can write his name in. People won't do that enough. Not in New Hampshire. So Michigan, Pennsylvania, he won't be on there. I mean, we hope others. We hope there aren't some rhinos out there that do it in these state offices. To my knowledge, it'll be a battle, if it goes there, between the state legislatures and secretaries of state. We've been through this before. Every state's different. Technically, the secretaries of state are the key officer in charge of the elections for their state. If we get to that point, his path to victory is extremely narrow. He's got to win or get those cases tossed out. I think he's got a good shot. Here's the reality. Let's plan on that win. Let's say he wins. Let's say he's not convicted of anything. I think there's a good chance of that. Here's what I guarantee. They will not let him run. It took me 23 minutes to get to it in the show. I think I alluded to it already. They're not going to let him. This is what keeps me kind of down about it. And Tucker Carlson went a bit overboard. He talked about this with Trump because he was making a great point. I just don't think he closed it well when he talked about assassination. And there's things you can say amongst friends, even in a speech to a donor group, that can be compelling and make a point for you and get attention. When it's on Twitter and you're talking to the former president of the United States, I mean, Trump was even a little bit uncomfortable with it. He doesn't get uncomfortable with much. One, because you're talking to somebody about him dying. And Tucker meant it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but he didn't let go either. And what he said is they've tried impeachment. They're trying court cases. They're trying everything. They're out of options. What's next? And he's like, in typical Tucker fashion, he's like, what, killing you? I mean, he's like, I can't think of anything else. And, I don't know. I don't know if it'll be backed by anybody official, but Trump opponents are not getting more sane. And if we get to a time frame of next August and Trump is free and clear and has a scheduled debate and doesn't talk over Biden and lets him just stammer through, I mean, can you imagine what his state will be, Biden's? I mean, all Trump should have to do is stand there. But he won't, and he just needs to overbeat the guy. But you know, here comes. I mean, everyone's going to see it. It's ball game, right? There are going to be presidential election watchdogs favoring Republicans at these voting sites in battleground states like you've never imagined. So whatever they try, there is going to be a system of communication. People are going to be getting filmed. There will be everybody and their iPhone ready to go in the parking lots watching votes come in. Nobody is going to leave. There will be people camping at voting sites. So Milwaukee County will not be running ballots after hours. They will be on Twitter. They will be blowing up for breaking the law. And they won't do it. They'll be too afraid. This time around, they don't want the attention those ladies got last time. And I think they were up to no good. I think those gals that came in and counted ballots were up to no good. I'm happy being on the record. They were cheating in some way, shape, or form. There's no reason to do what they did. And you watch the video, there's a total lack of accountability where ballots were kept. The perception alone is a nightmare. So we're going to be all over that next time. So what can they do? Well, COVID's around right now. This was the dress rehearsal. I think I talked about it. They tried. There have been masking messages, states alluding to it. One pathetic-ass college somewhere mandated masks. I mean, talk about the biggest losers in the United States. Some college that has a woman's name, and probably every girl there has pink or purple hair, and the guys are essentially eunuchs. They're required with their class of probably 500 or maybe 100 in their little liberal arts world. They have a mask mandate because they're smarter than all of us. Well, guess what? Right now, strep throat's going around because of back to school. Right now, the cold I got is going around because of back to school. And right now, COVID is going around because why? Back to school. That's weird. It's late August, early September. No, it's not. Because you dumbasses, that's when kids go back to school and bring all their shit home. So when I went to the doctor, it was super busy. But he and I are boys. He got me in. And I was still there for 3 hours. Because your kids are gross. All of our kids are gross. They touch everything. They don't wash their hands. They wipe their ass and don't wash their hands. They eat their food after they don't wash their hands. And they come home and they are a-holes. Except for that 1 second, then they're not. And then that moment of love, they get you sick. That's how it is. Welcome to being a parent. And here we are. You might get it at the gym too, but let's be real. Kids, they're the worst, especially if you got young ones. You're toast. You're history. So now, what can they do? We're all like, yeah, my kids got COVID. I asked my doctor, how bad is it? People do have it. He's like, it's not bad. It's not bad. You're sick. You have a fever. You have a nose, your sore throat. Now, of course, if you have health issues and you get COVID, it's bad. It's also bad if you have health issues and you get a sinus infection. It's also bad if you have health issues and you get the flu. It's also bad if you have pre-existing conditions and you get strep throat. That's real bad, actually. That's you get strep throat. That's from dirty kids. Dirty, grubby, not washing their hands, doing things kids. Strep throat, poor moms. You got it. You get it as a kid. And then it's always the moms that get stuck with it. And by the time they get it, the husbands know, like, I'm not touching anybody because we're jerks. And, you know, but I got tested for that too. Thanks, kids. And you know, I'm not around mine hardly anymore. So I didn't give it to me. But COVID's here, but it's got to be disappointing. This variant didn't do for them what they wanted. The next one's not either. But I think they were hoping to establish, guess what, August, September, October-ish. Ooh, we're in COVID season. Here are the precautions that we must have. Masking, distancing, and God forbid we require people to vote in person at all. Or how dare we say, go anywhere to register, even though you can do that online. So what they wanted to do was to establish another precedent for next year because they could win that way. They could win even not breaking any technicalities, any technical rules with ballot harvesting. They get enough of these states like Nevada did, just mail a bunch of them out. They'll go door to door. And I don't know what the Republicans are. I've asked my local party, when are we harvesting? When are you training people? I'll go door to door. I might even go where Latinos for Trump live. I don't give a damn. And I will ask people, did you fill out your ballot? Do you want help? Now, I will not break any laws, but if they ask me questions about what I think, I got a podcast, I'm pretty comfortable telling people what I think. And I'll risk getting caught and fired. I'm a volunteer. What are you going to do, not pay me? What, are you going to put me on social media for saying who I vote for and why? Oh, no. I'm tired of being ashamed of that crap. I never was, but I've hid it. I'm not hiding it. So let's harvest. I'm ready. Put me in, coach. Well, no one's called me back. Email, call, they're looking into it. Okay. This doesn't just matter for Trump. A lot of other elections. So if there are going to be mail-in ballot scenarios and they know where people requested mail-in ballots, I'd gladly be on the same streets with some moped riding, you know, burlap shoe hippie talking democratic socialism. I'll go street skin on skin with that person. I'm coming out the W. I'm getting more than they are. I'll get people changing their ballots when I come in after. But we're not going to do it. Not like the Democrats. They're experienced. But you need the COVID stuff. You need those restrictions and those freedoms and those abuses that came with it. And the leverage of fear. Now, they're never going to be able to achieve that same level of fear that they did in 2020. They can't. Now, you'll see people next year, what they're going to do, mark my words, is they're going to get their social media frenzy going, and the operatives are going to go out and try. It's not worth it. It's you know, these will be hot zones. You're lining up. You're close. People aren't wearing masks like last time. Mail in your vote. Request a mail-in ballot. Request a mail-in ballot. And that'll be a problem. But I don't, if it works, I don't think it will. What I know won't work, Republicans, this is Trump and God rest his soul, Rush Limbaugh, who both Rush and Trump realized it too late. This crap with Republicans voting on election day because America, and that's what I do and I've always done it, is a load of crap and you're going to lose it for us, because I know thousands and thousands and millions ended up not voting that day because they get busy. I brought it up last show. You're going to hear it from me again. And I hope when the time comes, the people that have an audience say, I get that you don't want to do a mail-in ballot. Vote in person. Do early voting. Some places open up 3 weeks. Everybody opens up 2 weeks. It's what I've done. I'm in and out in like 10 minutes. You got your office. I'm going to go vote. Day off. I'm going to go vote. Go get it done. I got time right now. Shit, let me go vote. No, but Tuesday after work, I'm going to vote. Oh, really? I mean, it's Tuesday after work right now. What's that like? How's that going for you? Tuesday's a crap day. Monday, we're zombies. Tuesday's when it all hits. It's the worst day at the gym. It's a terrible day. It's the worst traffic day, statistically. The 3 day extra day off for people like, I'm not going in on Monday or I'm going in late. Tuesday's the catch up day. Everybody's battling for the acorn on Tuesday. And you're going to put that, and then you know the line's long and you're tired. And Trump was doing well in the polls. And man, I'm in Georgia. Shoot. I'm in Georgia. Man, I'm going home. Thanks, Dick. Thanks. You're out there and you should be ashamed of yourselves. You could have voted last week. It would have taken 10 minutes. Do your job. My goodness. So we got to drop that crap. And there has to be an active campaign against it to tell people, hey, lighten up, old man. Right? Go with your friends. Right? After you know, go and then get an early special for dinner. I'd love to come. I like eating dinner early now. Go to bed early. Get that ballot at 2, 3 o'clock and then, you know, go get tacos. You're done. You voted. You did it. And if you're at a certain age, you're thrilled you made it this far. Hell, every time I walk in to vote for somebody, I'm like, glad I made it. Who'd have known 4 years ago that I'd be back here again for a presidential election? I don't take it for granted. it's getting weird because each time it feels like it was like yesterday. That just happens when you get older. It's like 4 years goes by in a pretty quick chunk. I mean, the last election still makes me sick when I think about what they got away with. And so we got to stop that crap. But I don't know. You hear me getting excited. When I calm down and I upload this, know that I'm shaking my head and wondering, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? They can't let Joe Biden with the Hunter Biden stuff that's just going to get... I mean, they're impeaching him. I mean, they are. They're investigating the concept as of today. That went out. So Biden's going to get impeached. And it's not just for show. They have massive, more intense power to gather evidence. I'm drawing a blank on the word, but when you, there's nothing like a subpoena or an order from an impeachment from the U.S. Congress. Okay, so their jurisdiction is tight and broad, and discovery is never ending. They are going to get what they want. They're on a mission. Because this, of course, has a major political aspect to it. It's not just political. But it's going to time out the way, and you got to do it. We got to fight fire with fire. They're trying to paint Trump as a criminal. Now this is going to empower Trump and give him a message like, oh, they're worried about how my speech came across. The same speech where I told people not to be violent. That's fine. I'll deal with it. My lawyers are ready. How about my opponent? We have the receipts now. Like, it's not a debate. They got the text messages. They got testimony. The man was taking money from foreign powers while vice president of the United States. And millions and millions of dimwits voted for him already. And millions will do it again. Because the left are hypocrites. The left are never consistent. An accusation from the left is an admission. That's why I'm always suspect when people over-defend pederast, pedophile behavior in our schools, like book banning. Oh, you don't want to ban books. Have you read some of the books that have been removed? I cannot read from them. Because I might say a bad word here and there, but I know people listen with their kids. I have friends who listen to this show with their kids. These are kids the same age as the children who had access to these books in their public school libraries. So these kids could read it. They could access it. They could check it out. Right? And these are books that have hardcore, underage, I'll say themes. And when I say themes, I mean scenes. And these are public school library books. So when some leftist tells me you want to ban books, I said, well, from where? From schools. I said, well, governments can't do that in a way. But yeah, there are books that are in schools right now that I want to remove forever. And if I could, yeah, I'll burn those. You know what? If kids are doing certain things in a book, I'm into it. Sorry, guys. Fascist. Oh, I will burn those books. You know, do I want them to not be published? Do I want to be a hypocrite? No. But at the same time, I'm okay getting in the way. And I'm okay exposing anyone who would publish such crap. And I think anyone who would write this is inviting a light Patriot Act subpoena for their effing hard drive. I'm not that libertarian. I want kids to be saved. I want kids to be protected. Anyone writing these books needs to be investigated, needs to be surveyed, and probably needs to be arrested. And if they're found guilty and were involved in trafficking, ding, 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 per President Trump, no one else is saying it, they will be put to death. Amen. That's my guy. What does your candidate want in that situation? Those are the questions we have to ask people. Well, I don't know. Or what do you mean? You can't answer the question. I'm not debating you. I'm not going to get into a pissing contest with liberals anymore. I don't need to beat them. I do every time. I've never lost a debate because they're never informed. They're just part of the biggest echo chamber, and there are Republican echo chambers too. But in the exchange of information, modern liberalism dies. It doesn't hold up. It cannot handle the light of day. It's infected with inconsistencies, and it only exists in a vacuum that people we know live in. They have no idea. They think the Hunter laptop doesn't even exist. They think it was just made up. If all you do is listen to MSNBC and NPR, you would have no idea what's going on with the Hunter Biden case. And CNN, they keep moving towards MSNBC. They're not covering it. They give like occasional updates. You're never going to find it. But I digress. Let's move on. There's a couple things I want to cover before closing out the show. Oh my gosh, I had to take a second there and pause the show to cough and realized I've taken notes because I'm going to be more regular on this for future shows. But the inconsistency of liberalism and what they're doing with the election, I always want to prepare you guys for these scenarios that are going to get really uncomfortable. I mean, next year is going to be all out daily life political war, especially if you live somewhere like California or anywhere, any city, as someone conservative, libertarian, really anybody that's not far left, because you can agree with them if they say love is love, and you could say sure, but terms and conditions apply. Because I'm preparing an entire show on what I believe is the goal of the LGBTQIA+, God, it's just embarrassing to say, mafia. And really, the L, G, and B are more and more trying to cut themselves out of that. So this whole trans youth thing has some extremely disturbing long-term goals. So when you hear love is love, know that there are people in that quote-unquote community that have a goal of that meaning for everyone. Look up NAMBLA, N-A-M-B-L-A. It's like the National Association for Men Boy Love. I don't know if it's still around, but they got crushed because they were one of the first organizations to come out and say, we don't think there's anything wrong with a grown man and a boy having a romantic relationship. They said it. You could call the number and the founder would be on a voicemail saying the most hideous things in a compassionate voice. It's hard to believe. Howard Stern used to prank call them. So, and they laughed because then it was just this sick fringe that the law enforcement was trying to protect kids from. Guys, they're everywhere. They're in your schools. They just arrested a principal in Oklahoma who innocently is a drag queen in his spare time. He had child porn on his computer. Now, are all drag performers pedophiles? No. A lot of the ones you interview will tell you kids have no business at our shows. A number of them aren't even gay. They just like to sing as Diana Ross and dress up as like Diana Ross. Guess what? Drag performing in that regard, in the right contest, I mean, yeah, Mrs. Doubtfire. It's comedy. It's always audience appropriate. That was a rated PG movie, Mrs. Doubtfire. If you go to a drag show in the evening in New Orleans, there are no kids. It's an adult show. Now, there's no nudity, but there's sexuality. There's themes, and it can be funny. It's a bit uncomfortable, and I don't get the brunch thing. I don't get that. When I've been to a late-night drag performance, I was surprised at some of the voices and impressed. I'll say it, and it was hilarious. Talented dudes, and I'm saying dudes, these actors. And then I hear about brunch. I mean, but I wasn't eating. I was having a drink. I just, you know, I don't understand the appetite to have Sunday brunch. You're probably hungover. You probably should be eating better. And yeah, but I get it. It's Sunday. You're like, damn, I want pancakes. I want French toast. But does at any point say, I want to see some guy's nutsack in a bikini bottom dance while I eat my French toast and drink my coffee and hate myself for what I consumed only a few hours before? I'm sorry, but this is the try-hard side of liberalism gone out of control. None of them really like it. 9 out of 10 people sitting there are like, I just wish I could eat, and I'm getting a lap dance from some fat guy pretending to be a woman when my Eggs Benedict just arrived, or I see the server holding it waiting until fatty's done. And you're hungover. It's outrageous, and you have your mimosa. Get out of here. It's weird. Drag brunch. Yeah, drag brunch rhymes with something else. It's gross. Come on. No one wants it. It's the first step. Because kids can go to brunch. It's the morning. What are people usually doing? Average people on a Sunday morning going to church. You think that's a coincidence? That Sunday morning drag shows are a thing in these cities? It's not. It's calculated. I mean, there are all a ton of Satanists out there now. They're all overlapped, these people. This isn't conspiracy. What they want to do is get to a point where your child can consent. That's where I'm going. So when love is on a shirt that a toddler's wearing or a young child's wearing, it means no conditions apply. No terms apply. Love is love. If the child says he loves somebody and the adult says they love somebody, then that's love. Now, that phrase came out when the whole gay marriage thing hit the Supreme Court. Okay? That they know exactly what they're doing when they launched all the stuff, all the swag, all the hashtags. There is a mafia within the LGBTQ blah, blah, blah community that knows what to do once the average everyday American, us, accepts something. They will take it, they will run, and they will leverage it. They've leveraged it into your schools. They've leveraged it into your restaurants. If you live in a city, they've leveraged into your lives. But it's just pride. What exactly are you proud of? That you are non-binary? I'm sorry, but to be non-binary, you assert that there are two genders. You're not one of the two? Well, then guess what? Two scoops, two genders. We have to help the gay community put a stop to this because they are working hard. Gays Against Groomers is growing by the day on Twitter, raising money, exposing pedophile behavior within a community that they don't want to be a part of. We got to help them. If you hide and you think it's not going to happen to me, watch out. I'm not lying to you guys. I will never make up stories. I know two people that have their kids socially, that's the term now, socially transition while at school. They had influences. Both kids in both instances at these institutions had been exposed to a mentor type person that was already trans. They groom, they recruit. They recruit and they groom. They isolate you from your child first. Because there are always going to be a day when our kid goes to school mad at us. And predators see it. And they seize upon it. And they cut your child out of your life by telling them they're something they're not. All this to appease their own decision, too. Don't kid that. I went too far. I'm doing a whole show on this. I promise. But let's cover one story first. This, and I want to cover it real quick. If you don't live in the Northeast, especially not Pennsylvania, it's not daily news, this escape killer. This is crazy. This lowlife, I don't know what he was originally in prison for, but he escaped, and he's armed and dangerous. CNN had, they hate it. I'm just watching updates. I mean, it's a big headline because this guy is roaming the county, and he's gone on a Ring doorbell to an old acquaintance. It's great. His sister sounds like a winner. They had to question her. She was helping out a little bit, not as much as she should, apparently. They found out she's overstayed her visa. She's getting deported. So we're getting a 2-for-1 here. But this guy, Danilo Cavalcante, he's got a .22 caliber rifle, which isn't, that's actually a gun. but it has a scope and a flashlight on it, so he is armed. And apparently he was around someone's home. This is Pennsylvania, right, where we probably won last time. And this is how they said it. Before he was shot at, Danilo Cavalcante stole a .22 caliber rifle that has a scope and a flashlight on it. Before he was shot at. Before he was shot at. Who shot at him? They won't say. I mean, maybe it's cops. I feel like if the police had seen him well enough to fire at him, they'd have him by now. So it sounds like an armed citizen defended his or herself, and Cavalcante, with his little .22 pea shooter, ran. Unfortunately, was not hit. Good job, whomever that is. But how interesting. Everybody hates the good guy with the gun story on the left. Well, so does the governor of New Mexico. So the last story, you know, not to go too far down this Pennsylvania thing, but it's real scary. I mean, this guy's got neighborhoods on lockdown. But, you know, Pennsylvania's getting pretty right-wing right now if they live in any area threatened by Cavalcante. People have got those evil guns out. They probably cleaned them real nice. And, you know, don't go knocking on anyone's door out there at night. But at the same time, in a beautiful twist of irony, in New Mexico, the governor, who, by the way, was selected, the Democrat powers that be, and Republicans have them too, the shot callers got together and they figured, okay, who is willing to get embarrassed for some attention? Who's so crazy and so far left that she'll do something knowing it's not going to work, but because she's a woman full of hot air and needs attention, she'll do it. Well, up comes the governor of New Mexico. And in fantastic fashion, she tries what seems to be an executive action and is basically banning the right of people in New Mexico to carry a weapon. I mean, this is insane. I mean, and so her name is Michelle Lujan Grisham. And she makes this ban on carrying guns. She's like, and this is, she looks like that elitist school teacher that when you're like, you're doing things that aren't fair, the teacher's like, I don't have to be fair. Which to a point is true, but like, you don't have to be a dictator too. I mean, she's a dictator. I mean, she's in a pantsuit. Like, she's literally in joggers in the picture I'm looking at. Zipped down like Tony Soprano style. She's kind of a big blonde Karen. You know, a little jewelry here and there. I'd say well accessorized, actually. A little New Mexico action, right? A little native stuff in the sweatsuit. Probably looks classy. You know, she's got her Apple Watch on, but she looks like she's yelling. It's not a flattering picture. And this news story is the New Mexico AG, who's left as well, says he won't defend the governor in lawsuits over a ban on carrying guns because the lawsuits are going to fly in and this guy's not an emotionally moronic woman. He's like, I'm sorry, lady. And he even said something about, I hate what gun and gun violence has done in his letter, but he's like, take a hike. I'm not doing this. I'm not wasting my time. You're just gonna give this to the Supreme Court, and they might use it as a chance to make a ruling to expand the power of the Second Amendment. You dunce. You stupid, stupid woman. But this story dropped a couple days ago. Today, the New Mexico AG now is saying, I'm not helping you, lady. And at the same time, it's not small. You got a guy who just fired at an armed and dangerous escaped convict in Pennsylvania. You couldn't do that if this lady had her way in New Mexico, which, by the way, is a pretty, pretty big state on hunting and gun ownership. It's just gotten damn blue because of the liberals that go to Santa Fe and live there and drink their peyote and act like a bunch of asshats. And they flocked because it's pretty. And they go places that are pretty and they politically shit on the pretty. It's just another version of California, Santa Fe and Albuquerque. God. It's just sad. So, of course, they vote. And here we got this lady. And she's just like, you know what? Yeah, no guns. But ma'am, the Constitution, yeah, I don't care. I'm a woman. I'm strong. I'm governor. You can hear it. Sorry, ladies, but we're all getting tired of the gender being a factor in the strength definition. All right? I don't care what kind of strength of will. You know, obviously, there ain't one female politician who's ever going to be able to bench press or squat more than I can. Even at 90. It's my motivation. There will be no woman that looks me in the eye in person that says they can bench more than I can ever. It's not going to happen. I can hold on to that. Even if they're smarter than I am, I can always bench more than they can. That's all I got. So don't use strong around me. Not in generic terms, because I'm going to say, how much do you bench? You want to be like me? How much do you bench? How many push-ups can you do? Can you do a pull-up? I can still do like 15. How you like me now? But you can tell me I can't carry a gun? What? So, who knows? I mean, maybe she went off on her own. I don't. These guys, the Democrats, they move in unison. But here we are. What do they do with this? I mean, their own AG. So now you've got this issue, and they tried it. I don't know. You know, they wouldn't do this in an election year. I don't know where this goes. Maybe she lost her mind. She's not that old. So something's going on here. You'd think maybe she's an idiot and doesn't really, you know, she's one of those, hey, throw her out there in New Mexico, she'll win, kind of like, hey, we need more women on the ballot. We need more women governors. All right, give it to Michelle. Who? You know, Michelle, she bakes the good muffins and wears the pantsuits and the sweatsuits. Oh, yeah, Michelle, she's cool. She knows she's on board. Yeah, just we'll put her in there. We'll put her on the ballot. She'll win. See how she does. Now they're like, oh, crap. Who knew she was that far left? They're like, yeah, that's pretty far left. I mean, we wish she could do it, but we certainly aren't feeling bold enough to try. So you can call it brave. I mean, there's a fine line between brave and stupid. I think she took a big dive over that line and is immersed in stupid. And you got this guy, this attorney general in New Mexico is like, yeah, appreciate it, but you're on your own. So it's going away. I just don't know what happens next, because now you're giving Republican candidates anywhere, including Trump, the fuel to say they want to take your guns away. Because when we say that before, knowing it's true, before this, it was always like, oh, that's not true. Just the AR-15s, just this semi-automatic. Like, wait, like every handgun then? No, I mean, you know, semi-automatic, like assault rifles, no big difference. And that's where they want us to be. They want us to minutia. Now it's like, no. You had a governor of a state try, not a mayor, not a member of a city council, not an ombudsman. A real-life governor of a state that has a federal border with a third-world country try to ban the carrying of guns in the United States of America. We have it now. I don't know. The Democrats are... maybe they've lost control of their ladies. The Fulton County prosecutor... and this governor of New Mexico, maybe they're having their own little revolution or rebellion within the party, and they're like, on the conference calls, they're like, hey, let's bring back Mazie Hirono. Remember her from Hawaii? I mean, her state just burned, and they still don't let Mazie Hirono talk. She's the one that said men just ought to shut up during the Kavanaugh hearings. Asian lady, senator from Hawaii. I mean, they don't let her talk. She's in the Kamala Harris room where dingbats are placed on hold. With that, I'm going to let you go. It's been an hour. Get another one in this week. Hopefully tomorrow. I'm feeling better. And I'll make sure the email's up and running. And EIPnet1776@gmail.com. I've had problems with the Twitter. If you've listened this far and care about the Twitter, I was actually making some progress there and I got locked out. I don't think it was intentional. It's probably my mistake. I'll get it fixed, but I will be back soon and talk to you soon.